Good evening, Truth Seekers. You know, Sarah Palin is the gift that just keeps on giving. You know, I'll get to that in a second. We have named her Caribou Barbie, and it's her big night at the convention tonight. As John McCain said, she's going to rock 'em and sock 'em. She's going to rock 'em and sock 'em. That's a direct quote from the senior senator from Senileville. How old is he? He's 72, right? 72? That's not really old. You know, some people don't go senile till they're in their 90s, but McCain, oh, well, it's a different story. We're going to take as much of Caribou Barbie tonight as she gives her big speech live, as much as we can. Of course, we're also going to bring you some sound from Pickles and Mensa Man at the convention last night. We just think you want to hear this. Oh, and we have the Peggy Noonan and Mike Murphy open mic segment as well. What fun this is. I love this Republican convention so far. I just love it. Like I say, it's a gift that keeps on giving. This is what it feels like to live permanently in one of those fun houses that used to exist on the really on the midways of the really cheap-ass, cheesy traveling carnivals. You know what I'm talking about? Inside that fun house. This is it. That's where we are. We are in that funhouse, and it's a lot of fun. It's better than anything on primetime TV in years. Now, the latest about Caribou Barbie. This is from CBS News. The reporter John Bentley reporting from St. Paul, Minnesota. John McCain's campaign threatened legal action against the National Enquirer today for running a story about McCain's running mate, Sarah Palin, allegedly having an affair with her husband's business partner. Senior McCain advisor Steve Schmidt said, quote,
"The smearing of the Palin family must end. The allegations contained on the cover of the National Enquirer insinuating that Governor Palin had an extramarital affair are categorically false. It is a vicious lie. The efforts of the media and tabloids to destroy this fine and accomplished public servant are a disgrace. The American people will reject it."
End quote. No, Steve, the American people won't reject it. We will lap it up like kittens around a bowl of warm cream. Who are you kidding, you dumbass? Did you people say this, you McCain people, when the National Enquirer broke the story about John Edwards? Ha! If it's in the Enquirer, Steve, it's true. The Enquirer also alleges that Palin... What is that? Turn that off. I don't want to hear Mitt Romney. The Enquirer also alleges that Palin unjustly fired a public safety official while she was governor of Alaska. But that story is based entirely on unnamed sources, unlike the other one. Steve Schmidt, the senior advisor to McCain, said, "Senator McCain and Governor Palin look forward to discussing the issues that Americans care about, like fixing broken government that we broke. We, the goddamn Republicans, we broke everything. We smashed it up against the wall, and then we took our pants down and urinated all over it. You talk about broken. Not only is it broken, it's sopping wet." I added all that. He goes on to say, "Creating jobs, making our country energy independent, and securing the peace for the next generation by bringing the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan to a victorious end. Legal action will be considered with regard to this disgraceful smear." Oh, go pound sand up your ass, Steve, will ya? You and your party have ruined the country. You've destroyed us. You've made us either a laughing stock or the most feared, out-of-control, psychopathic group of 300 million ever to storm the planet. And you're going to worry because your pick for vice president boinked some other man? Get real. The whole family boinks. The family that boinks together stays together. In this case, hell, they live in Alaska, Steve. What the hell are you going to do in Alaska? They boink. They all do. When do you find out who her husband's been having sex with? Holy God!
It's cold in Alaska, Mike. What do you expect? It's cold.
Get her out of here. Get her out of here, Kathy. That was last night. The smearing of the Palin family must end. Oh, Jesus. Her husband's business partner? What would that be, another fisherman? Oh, my God. The story doesn't say when this extramarital affair occurred, but it does say that Todd found out about it and severed relations with the man. That's all he severed? Okay. Oh, my God. I say bring her on. Caribou Barbie is the best thing to happen to the Democratic Party since, I'd like to say since, who was George Bush's running mate?
Quayle.
Yeah, Dan Quayle. But, Quayle, he was vice president for 4 years, wasn't he? Huh?
Who can remember?
I don't. I honestly don't. He never
knew what the vice president's office did either.
He didn't. But, and George Bush, the New York Times had an amazing story today about Bush's non-appearance at the Republican convention. First time a sitting president has not appeared at his own party's convention since Lyndon Johnson didn't back in 68. And Johnson didn't because he knew that if he showed up, somebody would probably take a shot at him. Oh, well, maybe, nah. Anyway, let's do this first one from Pickles. Let's do this one. This is Caribou Barbie's big night tonight, but last night it was Pickles' final appearance before a big friendly audience before she retires to Crawford and her jumbo-sized cabinets of pharmaceuticals and Lucky Strikes. Now, listen here. She puts her spin on Ms. Alaska's qualifications to be VP. Listen to this. This is good. Listen to this.
I'm proud that America's first female vice president will be a Republican woman. Women have always played an important role in our party.
Oh, yeah.
From energizing grassroots to driving policy.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you to the dedicated women in our audience for making the Republican Party so strong. I'm proud that impressive women have served in my husband's administration.
Yeah, like
women
who?
Like Education Secretary Margaret Spelling.
Yeah, done a great job.
Labor Secretary Elaine Chao.
Yeah, wonderful.
And Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah, those are three great examples. Let's see, what's happened to education? Oh, never mind. Labor Secretary? Labor Secretary? Well, what does Elaine do? And that is, who's that little snarky little bastard from, the senator from, where's he from? Mitch McConnell. That's his beard. Mitch McConnell is as gay as a $3 bill. Oh, he's so gay. And Elaine Chao is his beard, always has been. Come on, Mitch, come out of the closet. Breathe some fresh air. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with being a gay man anymore. Honest to God. Ask the senator from, ask Larry Craig. Just don't do it in the bathroom at the airport, for God's sake. And Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Oh, yeah, she's done a smash-up job, hasn't she? Huh? Stellar examples. What about Gail Norton, former lobbyist for the lead industry that ran the Department of Interior? That was a good one. Ann Benneman. What did she do? Christy Todd Whitman, former head of the EPA. Wonderful, wonderful efforts there, Christy. Harriet Myers. That was another good one, huh? Huh? Not going to mention those, are you, Pickles? It's sad because this is the entire list of women who have served in any position in the Bush administration. 7 women, 2 years. Yeah, the Republicans sure appreciate the role women play. You know what the role women play to Republicans? You clean up after the menfolk. You prepare the food for the cocktail parties, those little weenies and things, and the potluck dinners. You birth the babies. You carry the golf bags, and you perform, you know, marital duties. So America's first female vice president would be a Republican woman, huh? Yeah, Fundy, gun-hugging wacko with a B.A. in journalism. Oh, I love Sarah Palin!
Refuge has its price. And it breaks her heart to think her love is only given to a man with hands as cold as ice.
So she tells him she must go out for the evening.
Turn on your night when you turn off your light. Go to bed with Mike Malloy every night on Nova M Radio.
Oh, yeah? 21 past the hour. All right, back to, we want to get this done before we get to the really fun part of the program tonight, and that's Caribou Barbie's speech. Oh, God, I can't wait. Pickles at the convention last night. Hubby couldn't show up. He would have been stoned on the podium. But now that Pickles, in that last soundbite right before the break, she explained the strong feminist history that defines the GOP. Oh, Jesus Christ, I can't believe this. How many times have these rat bastards just screamed vile insults at any 17-year-old girl who gets pregnant because she's having sex with the boy next door? It's awful. They condemn the family. They bring Jesus down. They bring Moses. They slay. Oh, it's odd.
Except for Mrs. Palin's family.
Oh, the hypocrisy is so thick, it's getting harder and harder for me to breathe. Anyway, Pickles just explained the strong feminist history that defines the Republican Party. And now she's going to do what all good neocon wives do best. And she leads the crowd here in a hearty cheer for her wonderful husband, man or monkey, himself.
I want to talk to you a little bit about the man I love. The first time I spoke at our convention, George was governor of Texas, and I was in front of the largest crowd I'd ever addressed. That night, I told you about a man of character whose principles would not shift with the winds of politics or polls. A lot has changed in the last 8 years, but one thing has stayed constant.
What's that?
George remains a man of strong values, with enduring love for the United States of America.
Yeah, even if he hates the Constitution, right, Pickles? The first time I spoke at our convention, George was governor of Texas, and I was in front of the largest crowd I'd ever addressed, so naturally I was super medicated. I don't remember too much about it, but I told you about a man of character whose principles, you know, his coke use, his DUIs, his failed business attempts, none of that would shift with the winds of politics or polls. He was as dumb a bastard in the White House as he was out of the White House. George remains a man of strong values. Kill all the Muslims and corporate tax cuts with enduring love for the United States of America, even if he hates the Constitution or whatever all you little people call that piece of goddamn paper, as George calls it. Oh, I love that. I never talk like that, but George does. One more from Pickles until we turn to Chuckle Nuts himself. But this delusional devotion to her mass-killing husband is just so over the top. I don't know how she snuggles up to the cretin at night. But it's got to be the meds. You eat enough Valium, you can do anything. Now, here she reflects fondly on his out-of-control, power-mad, bloody reign of terror over the American citizens and the U.S. Constitution.
Recently, you've heard a lot of politicians offer a lot of opinion.
Uh-huh.
But you haven't heard very many facts.
That's the truth.
So I thought I'd share a few with you tonight. In honor of our nominee, let's call it a little straight talk.
Hey, I like
it! On an issue that's close to my heart, President Bush initiated the most important education reforms in a generation.
Oh, my God.
Holding schools accountable and boosting funds for reading instruction. Today, student achievement is rising across the board.
What?
And test scores for minority students are at the highest they've ever been. We all know how important it is for America to have judges who respect the Constitution.
Kill me now!
Our whole nation can be proud of the two newest members of the Supreme Court, Justice Sam Alito and Chief Justice John Roberts.
Yeah!
And let's not forget, President Bush has kept the American people safe.
Yeah!
We'll always be grateful to the men and women who volunteer to wear the uniform of the United States. To the military families who know the anxiety of waiting for a loved one to return.
Uh-huh.
America honors your service, and we give you our thanks.
For sacrificing everything, including your lies, for my Bushy's lies. Jesus. Let's not forget, President Bush has kept the American people safe. From our own civil rights, our constitutional rights, to the families who've lost thousands of loved ones to his groundless wars, believe this. Do the families of those he's maimed and caused lifelong psychological trauma, do they agree with that? Education reforms? Judges who respect the Constitution? Son of a bitch. It's just unbelievable. All right, we're going to do a break. When we come back, we got a couple from the Giggling Killer. He took his turn at the podium. Well, almost. It was all done via videotape. Nobody in the Republican Party really wants him there in person. You know, too much of a reminder to the American people of... you know, how wonderful things have been for the past 8 years. All right, stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor. It's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
26 before the hour, we have, what do we have on? CNN or is it MSNBC? Oh my God, there's Mike Huckabee addressing the convention? No! How does Holy Mike deal with the Palin family? Oh well. Anyway, there was a chyron or a font or a bulletin. Sarah Palin on her way to the convention. I like that. All right, now it's the Giggling Killer's turn at the podium. Sort of. This is from last night. Nobody, as we mentioned, the Republican Party really wanted him there in person. Oh my God! So he sent his video message. Sitting at a desk with flags and stuff in the background, trying to pretend he's so concerned about hurricanes affecting the Gulf Coast, to leave his post at this time of crisis, you know, hurricanes and bodies floating. Jesus. He and McCain didn't have a problem partying up with the birthday cake while Katrina wreaked havoc 3 years ago, right? But never mind.
As you know, my duties had me here in Washington tonight to oversee the federal government's efforts to help citizens recover from Hurricane Gustav. All of us are keeping the people of the Gulf Coast in our thoughts and our prayers.
Oh, that'll work, yeah.
As you gather tonight in St. Paul, I want to share some thoughts about our nominee.
Yeah?
A great American and the next president of the United States, John McCain. I know what it takes to be president.
In a pig's ass!
In these past 8 years... I've sat at the Resolute desk and reviewed the daily intelligence briefings.
That you've ignored.
The threat assessments.
That you've ignored.
And the reports from our commanders on the front lines.
That you've ignored.
I've stood in the ruins of buildings knocked down by killers.
That you let knocked down.
I promised the survivors I would never let them down.
Which you ignored.
I know the hard choices that fall solely to a president.
Which you ignored.
John McCain's life is prepared to make those choices.
Which he'll ignore.
He is ready to lead this nation.
But are we ready? That's the question, Chuckle Nuts. Are we ready for four more years of you? And if McCain gets sick and the cancer starts eating his head and he lays down and dies, are we ready for beauty queen and journalism major Caribou Barbie and her mere months of experience governing a state that has the same population as Milwaukee? Now Mensa Man speaks about the central theme of the entire GOP convention. John McCain's major qualification to be president. Well, you know, he was a prisoner of war for 5 years.
John McCain was a respected naval officer who made decisions on which the lives of others depended.
And they all died.
As an elected public servant, he earned the respect of colleagues in both parties. As a man to follow when there's a tough call to make.
No, get away from him.
John McCain's life is a story of service above self.
Yeah.
40 years ago in an enemy prison camp, Lieutenant Commander McCain was offered release ahead of others who had been held longer.
And?
His wounds were so severe that anyone would have understood if he'd accepted.
Well, what'd John do?
John refused.
Oh.
For that selfless decision, he suffered nearly 5 more years of beatings and isolation.
Oh, God.
When he was released, his arms had been broken.
And made stubby.
But not his honor.
Oh.
Fellow citizens, if the Hanoi Hilton could not break John McCain to do what is best for his country, you can be sure the angry left never will.
The angry left? Well, kiss my grits. The angry left will not break him. No, but you know what? Caribou Barbie is going to turn him into a moose burger. You know, angry left, no. Angry left is easily handled. You just beat us up and tear gas us and pepper spray us and lock us up in little small rooms and stuff, you know. We're easy. But Sarah Palin? Moose burgers. For that selfless decision, he suffered nearly 5 more years of beatings and isolation. If just enhanced interrogation, what's the problem? And you know what? He never had a table or chair or anybody's booty to look at. It was rough. Wasn't it, Chuckle Nuts? What were you doing while John McCain was in a prison? Oh, never mind. That's right. All right, last one for tonight. Bunny Pants here does the little old-fashioned Bush-style fear-mongering. And then sums up his confidence in the McCain-Palin ticket and his blind, baseless optimism about the future of the nation that he has almost succeeded in destroying.
We live in a dangerous world.
Thanks to you.
And we need a president who understands the lessons of September the 11th, 2001.
Jesus Christ.
That to protect America, we must stay on the offense.
War!
Stop attacks before they happen.
Yeah, kill!
And not wait to be hit again.
Bomb!
The man we need is John McCain.
The POW!
When he takes office next January, John will have an outstanding leader at his side.
Who?
America will have a strong and principled vice president in the governor of the great state of Alaska, Sarah Palin.
Oh, my God.
The time the Oval Office has been in my trust.
Or Cheney's trust.
I've kept near my desk reminders of America's character.
Yeah, like what?
Including a painting of a West Texas mountain lit by the morning sun.
Ooh.
It reminds me that Americans have always lived on the sunrise side of the mountain.
Oh, gag me. Gag
me! We're a nation that looks to the new day with confidence and optimism.
Not
and I'm
lately.
I'm optimistic about our future because I believe in the goodness and wisdom of the American people. I'm optimistic because I have faith in freedom's power to lift up all of God's children.
Who aren't Muslim.
And lead this world to a future of peace.
Oh, praise Jesus.
And I'm optimistic about something else.
What's that?
When the debates have ended.
Yeah.
And all the ads have run.
Yeah.
And it is time to vote.
Yeah.
Americans will look closely at the judgment, the experience, and the policies of the candidates.
And what will they do?
And they will cast their ballots for the McCain-Palin ticket.
Only if they're suicidal or truly hate America, Chuckle Nuts. That's the only way that's going to happen. But you know what? You and Cheney understand, and Rove, you rat bastards understand that probably 43% of America are suicidal, or is suicidal. That's a collective noun there, isn't it? Is suicidal! and do truly hate America. That 43%, they don't want health insurance. Oh, hell no, that's communism. They don't want the queers to marry. Hell no, that's communism. They don't want women to do anything. All right, Sarah Palin, she's got a cute ass. That's communism. They don't want the oil companies to be nationalized. That's communism. God damn right it is. They don't want transportation to be nationalized. That's communism.
Right.
Oh, my God. To protect America, we must stay on the offense. Stop attacks before they happen. You little piglet, you had a chance to do that. You really did. But what you're saying there, what we need is more preemptive wars against countries who've not really done anything. And what military will be ravaged this time? You've used up all the soldiers here, you foul bastard. Ah. You know, a couple of years ago, I had people email me, or that's when the email started, a couple, 3 or 4 years ago. People say, Mike, you got to stop playing the sound bites of Bush. I can't stand it. When you start playing them, I turn off your program. You know, I finally understand what you people are talking about. Russ in Texas is listening to some of the convention. He heard somebody talk about country first, or was that in one of... Was that in Pickle's soundbite, Country First? Russ writes, what the hell does that mean? I have a live commercial-free feed of both conventions through my satellite service, so I get to see all the hoopla. Some guy is up there right now chanting, drill, baby, drill, in a vain attempt to get the sleeping crowd to wake up. I can't wait for the Palin speech later, if I don't shoot myself first after Romney speaks. Now, let me pause for a second and remind myself and everybody, we are still in that world where Cheney is trying to start World War III. The Israelis, the Iranians, the Azerbaijanians, Cheney, the Georgians, the Russians, none of this stuff is on hold. It's still moving towards Armageddon. We are still this close to a nuclear holocaust. There are still forces that are pushing and pushing. To make that come about, the simple fact is this. The media in this country have been absorbed by three events in the past a couple of weeks. Two political conventions and a goddamn hurricane. Now that's where our focus has been. Oh, and this woman from Alaska. Caribou Barbie. So we can sit here and play grab ass and giggle butt tonight, which is fine with me. But understand something, truth seekers. We are on the verge of utter absolute chaos. Do you know where that death-dealing slug Dick Cheney is tonight? He's over in the Caspian Sea area. He's in Azerbaijan. He is going to go to Georgia. This son of a bitch is doing everything he can. Why would somebody who's had 9 heart attacks and has a mass of metal in his chest be out traveling someplace where he can't even drink the water? Because he's trying to gin up another war. And no, there probably won't be an election. And if there is one, no, Sarah Palin's not going to be on the Republican ticket. So let's sit here and play giggle ass a little bit longer. It's fun. But understand something. There is horrors out there staring us right in the face.
Biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that
it's okay, Republicans. The pain will be over soon. Take a deep breath. Find your happy place.
Yeah.
It's more of Mike Malloy.
Yeah, okay. David in New York City, the city too scared to put Mike Malloy on the radio, writes in regarding Chucklenut's statement that he kept us safe Or was it Pickles? It was Pickles. Bush said he kept us safe. David writes, I realize that memory fades, and as time passes, we tend to forget little details, but am I the only person left in America who remembers who the president was on September 11, 2001? Perhaps I live in a dream world, but wasn't W the commander-in-chief on that very day? Is that an example of how he kept us safe? I won't even get into the debate or whether or not he was involved. All I want people to remember is we were attacked on George W. Bush's watch. If that's the idea of keeping us safe, I'd rather be in danger. Yeah, well, you're right, David. I mean, he's addressing the American people. He's also addressing the Republican National Convention. Everybody in the hall of the Republican National Convention is a brain-dead, flesh-eating zombie. They're not real. They're pod people. They're not real. 50 to 60% of the American people belong in that room with them, because we are very stupid. We are just massively, appallingly ignorant population. We just sit here and eat and fart and watch TV and get fat and you. What's happening? Oh, well, did you hear Sarah got knocked up? You know, they were only married 8 months before she had her first kid. Did you know that? Really? I didn't know that. Yeah, and her daughter and that daughter and this one. She got one daughter, ain't been knocked up yet. Have you seen her future son-in-law? He uses the F word like most people use bathroom tissue or something. I don't know. I can't think of a good metaphor or analogy or comparison. Yeah. You know, the term Joe and Jane six-pack was made up because of obvious reasons. Robert sent this to me. Oh, this was on ABC News tonight. I saw Charlie Gibson getting all tough and ballsy with John McCain, little one-on-one interview there. You know, oh, Charlie better watch out or he's going to be on the SOL list just like Larry King. Anyway, it appears that John McCain has embraced the Russia is next to Alaska theory of why Sarah Palin isn't as lacking in foreign policy experience as she seems. On the interview with ABC, McCain said, quote, Alaska is right next to Russia. She understands that. Look, Senator Obama's never visited south of the border. I mean, please. Governor Palin knows the surge has succeeded. She's the commander of the Alaska National Guard. He said that Iran was a tiny problem. He's never visited south of our border. He has no experience on these issues. She's been in charge, and she's had national security as one of her primary responsibilities. Senator Obama has never had a position of responsibility to do with many of those responsibilities. I'm proud of her vision. I'm proud of her strength. Governor Palin had, wait a minute. She's been in charge of the National Guard and she's had national security as one of her primary responsibilities. That is absolutely a lie. That's not true. Once the National Guard is federalized, the local governor has not a single other word to say about it. The only way she can use the National Guard as the governor is to fight forest fires or if there's an insurrection within the borders of her own state, an insurrection that she appears to have wanted to lead. No, I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way, John.
I have to just interrupt for a second, because if you're watching television live right now, the breaking news is that the Palin family has arrived at the Republican convention, but there's Pippi or Piper or Bristol or Branch or something holding the baby that God knows who the mommy is or the daddy, frankly, and she's sitting next to her terrified looking deer in the headlights, scared about to pee his pants boyfriend.
Boy, he had his head shaved, didn't he? He's got his head shaved right down to a nub.
And I'm telling you, he just is so reminiscent of Kevin Federline, I can't even tell you. It's and there's Cindy Lou stroking the little poor thing's head, that twig or twitter or flip or flap or.
I guess y'all have heard about Wall Street Journal columnist and former Reagan speechwriter, and just You know, Peggy Noonan writes this column for the Wall Street Journal. At the top of the column, there's a picture of her that was taken about 35 years ago. You know, and Peggy Noonan, really, somebody ought to say to her, look, Peggy, you know, you ought to be like Malloy. He changed the picture at his website that was taken 20 years ago. You ought to do the same thing. Because Peggy, you don't have that nice smooth skin anymore. I mean, this is just a function of age, Peggy, but you're a dried up old prune. You really are. When we see you on live TV and then look at your picture at the top of the Wall Street Journal column, it's just like, oh my God, what's this? Well, her. Is that an odd feminine attack? You're damn right it is. Anyway, Peggy Noonan and former McCain advisor, Time columnist, and MSNBC contributor Mike Murphy were talking candidly about the huge mistake of the Palin nomination after being interviewed by Chuck Todd. We're going to play that for you when we come back. Now, there is kind of a barnyard statement in there about bull droppings that I think we've effectively beeped that came out of Peggy Noonan's mouth. Now, I love that. I just love Peggy Noonan, you know, this little prim and proper Republican apologist who wouldn't say poop if she had a mouth full of it. And she comes out with the bull S word. And we're going to play this for you when you come back. I'm sure you've heard it. It's all over the place. Hell, I got a link to the video and audio at the Malloy website. But we're going to play it for you anyway. All right. Stick around. The madness is going to intensify in about half an hour. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. People. Look at your television. Welcome back. 6 and a half past the hour. All right, Sharon, our military affairs correspondent, just sent me an email. The drinking game for tonight takes place now during the Rudy Giuliani speech. You have to drink a shot of Jack or Jim or Comfort each time Giuliani mentions 9/11. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
His principal independence never wavered. He stood up to special interests. He fought for fiscal discipline and ethics reform and a strong national defense.
Who?
That's the one choice. That's the one man. On the other hand, you have a resume from a gifted man with an Ivy League education.
Oh, boo!
He worked as a community organizer.
Oh! Goddamn community organizer.
He worked.
Get that bastard off. Get him off. Get him off. Get him off. Get this pig off here. Get this pig off of here. Oh, my God. Laugh at it. That's right, you filthy freaking Republicans. A community organizer.
I'm confused. I'm trying to figure out why that's a bad thing.
Ellen Sussman, writing a Huffington Post, says the following. The Republicans say Sarah Palin has as much experience as a Barack Obama. Not so. Let's compare. This is what they say is inexperienced and unprepared. Obama, Ivy League undergrad, 47-year-old Harvard-trained attorney, president of the Law Review, who has spent years teaching constitutional law, working as a civil rights attorney and community volunteer, state senator, U.S. senator, member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Ha, 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 ha! Oh, goddamn, ain't nothing! Sarah Palin, 44-year-old mother, undergraduate degree in journalism from Idaho, runner-up to Miss Alaska, mayor of a town of 6,000, no national or international political experience. Ha, 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 ha! He's a community organizer. Ha, ha, ha! Since when does being a mayor of a small suburban town qualify a person to be a heartbeat away from the presidency of the free world? When does a lack of education in political science, law, or business, and no graduate-level education at all signify the readiness to be commander-in-chief? The irony here is that there are many qualified women McCain could have chosen. Think Kay Bailey Hutchinson, think Liddy Dole, but he doesn't get it. Or does he just think independent female voters are stupid? This choice is so cynical and disrespectful. If you ever doubted McCain's critical thought process, this is a perfect example of why he would be dangerous. Where was the thoughtfulness in this selection of a running mate? And as for the soccer mom analogy, you can toss that out the window. This woman is a snowmobile-riding, gun-toting Alaskan version of Annie Oakley. Here's an excerpt from a letter by a woman who lives in Alaska and knows a lot more than we do about Governor Sarah Palin. Quote, the most accurate description of her is redneck. Her husband works in the oil fields of Prudhoe Bay and races snowmobiles. She's a lifetime member of the NRA and has worked tirelessly to allow indiscriminate hunting of wildlife in Alaska, particularly wolves and bears. She spent millions of Alaska state dollars on aerial hunting of these predators from helicopters and airplanes, dollars that should have been spent, for example, on Alaska's failing school system. We have the lowest rate of high school graduation in the country. She's been a strong supporter of increased use of fossil fuels, yet the McCain campaign has the nerve to say she has green policies. The only thing green about Sarah Palin is her lack of experience. She has consistently supported drilling in the Alaska National Wildlife Refuge. She has the use of coal-burning power plants. As I write this, a new coal plant is being built in her hometown of Wasilla. Strip mining and almost anything else that will necessarily exploit the diminishing resources of Alaska and destroy its environment. And it goes on. That's the end of the quote. And Sussman says, in an increasingly dangerous world with the economy in shambles in the U.S., Sarah Palin is uniquely unqualified to be vice president. John McCain is not a young man. Should something happen to him, such that the vice president had to step in, it would destroy our country and possibly the world to have someone as inexperienced and inappropriate as Sarah Palin. The choice of Palin is a cheap shot by McCain to try to get Hillary supporters to vote for him. When McCain introduced her the other day, Palin had the nerve to compare herself with Hillary and Geraldine Ferraro. So there you have it, an offer of hope and change or a cynical vote for more of the same. All I can say is if the McCain Palin duo is elected, the American people will get what they deserve. As for me, I'll be in New Zealand.
And this is also a woman, I love this little factoid, who, when she was mayor of Wasilla, she drove 100 miles to see Ivana Trump at a JCPenney's because you just don't get very close to glamour or glitz or anything Hollywood here in Alaska. So I drove 100 miles to see Ivana Trump.
Yeah, well, that's,
can you imagine her at a state dinner?
Well,
she's wowed by Ivana.
Let's see what Wall Street Journal columnist and former Reagan speechwriter and all-round useless Republican apologist Peggy Noonan does for the Wall Street Journal, what Monica did for Bill Clinton. Also, former McCain advisor, Time magazine columnist and MSNBC contributor Mike Murphy. They were interviewed by, Chuck Todd on MSNBC. And then the mic, you know, you don't ever talk around microphones unless it's something that you are very comfortable in having going over the air. What is wrong with these people? Well, they're dumbasses. They're Republicans. Let me get it to you first. And then you can listen. Mike Murphy says, because I come out of the blue swing state governor world, Engler, Whitman, Tommy Thompson, Mitt Romney, Jeb Bush. I mean, and these guys, this is all like how you win a Texas race. Just running up and you know, it's not going to work. Peggy Noonan, it's over. Murphy, still, McCain can give a version of the Lieberman speech and do himself some good. Chuck Todd, don't you think this Palin pick is insulting to Kay Bailey Hutchinson? Noonan, I saw Kay this morning. Mike Todd, yeah, she's never looked comfortable about this. Murphy, all bummed out. Todd. I mean, is she really the most qualified woman they could turn to? Peggy Noonan, the most qualified? No, I think they went for this, excuse me, political bullshit without about narratives and youthfulness and the picture. Todd, yeah, but what's the narrative? Murphy, I totally agree. Noonan, every time Republicans do that, because that's not where they live and it's not what they're good at, they blow it. Murphy, you know, that's the worst thing about this. What is the worst thing? The greatest of McCain is no cynicism, and this is cynical. Mike, Chuck Todd, yeah, and you can call it, as you called it, gimmicky. All right, now listen, let's play this. Here, this is Mike Murphy, and then Noonan. It flips back and forth between these four, or these three. It's astonishing to me, an open mic. This starts with Mike Murphy.
Yeah. You know, because I come out of the blue swing state governor world.
Right.
Engler, Whitman, Tommy Thompson.
Okay, let's try it again.
Yeah. You know, because I come out of the blue swing state governor world.
Right.
Engler, Whitman, Tommy Thompson, right. Mitt Romney, Jeb Bush. I mean, and these guys, this is all like how you win a Texas race. You know, just run it up. And it's not going to work. But it's over. Still, McCain can give version of the Lieberman speech to do himself some good.
I still think McCain will take a consulting to KW Hutchinson to
saw Kay this morning.
Yeah, she's never looked comfortable about it.
They're all bummed out.
I mean, is she really the most qualified woman they could have picked?
The most qualified? No. I think they went for this, excuse me, political bull about narratives. And
yeah, they went for narratives.
And the picture.
I totally
every time Republicans do that, because that's not where they live and it's not what they're good at, they blow it.
You know what's really the worst thing about it? The greatness of McCain is no cynicism, and it is cynical.
It's, and as you call it, gimmicky.
Yeah, well, there you go. The two of the heart and soul of the Republican movers and shakers, Mike Murphy, former McCain aide, and Peggy Noonan, and you know, there it is. There it is. It's just incredible. But and then if you want to, if you go online to Wall Street Journal and read Peggy Noonan's declarations today, she entitled Open Mic Night at MSNBC, she tries to cover her bony ass about what she said and tries to reframe it and restructure it except for the BS word. She said, oh, well, that wasn't very nice. But it's amazing. We'll post it on my website when this debacle is over tonight, and you can read it yourself. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M.
Messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
It's about 21 past the hour. The anticipation is building. Oh my God. I haven't been listening to Giuliani, so I don't know how many times he's mentioned 9/11. And besides, I can't, I'm sorry, Sharon, I can't take a shot of Jack every time he says 9/11, but Bob in Las Cruces, I'd like to do that, but I can't. Bob in New Mexico writes, Mike, I know you remember the 1956 movie Invasion of the Body Snatchers, where the pods come down and invade Earth by making exact replicas of human beings while they're sleeping, except they're not quite human afterwards. That's the feeling I get, Bob writes, when I watch these, quote, human beings, end quote, at the Republican National Convention. I especially felt that way last night after listening to Joe Lieberpod. This is just massive collective psychosis. It is so bad, it's time for... How long does the Busta Rhymes thing go? 2 minutes? All right, we need to play this. In anticipation of Caribou Barbie, our good friend, Busta Rhymes.
Daddy, what's it gonna be like?
Well, sweetheart, for your sake, I hope it'll be all peaches and cream. But I'm afraid the end time is near. The cataclysmic apocalypse referred to in the scriptures of every holy book known to mankind. It will be an era fraught with boundless greed and corruption, where global monetary systems disintegrate, leaving brother to kill brother for a grain of overcooked rice. The nations of the civilized world will collapse under the oppressive weight of parasitic political conspiracies which remove all hope and optimism from their once faithful citizens. Around the globe, generations of polluters will be punished for their sins, unshielded by the ozone layer they have successfully depleted, left to bake in the searing naked rays of light. Wholesale assassinations serve to destabilize every remaining government, leaving the starving and wicked to fend for themselves. Bloodthirsty renegade cyborgs created by tax-dodging corporations wreak havoc. Pissed off androids tired of being slaves to a godless and gutless system where the rich get richer. Unleash total worldwide destruction by means of nuclear holocaust, annihilating the terrified masses, leaving in its tortuous wake nothing but vicious, cannibalistic, mutated, radiated, and horribly disfigured hordes of satanic killers, bent on revenge, but against whom there are so few left alive. Starvation reigns supreme, forcing unlucky survivors to eat anything and anyone in their path. Massive earthquakes crack the planet's crust like a hollow eggshell, causing unending volcanic eruptions. Creatures of the seven seas, unable to escape to certain death upon land, boil in their liquid prison. Disease encircles the earth. Plagues and viruses with no known cause or cure, laying waste to whatever draws breath. And humankind, having proven itself to be nothing more than a race of ruthless scavengers, fall victim to merciless attack at the hands of interplanetary alien tribes who seek to conquer our charred remains. This is extinction level event.
Wow, that's cool. I can't hardly wait.
You don't have to, because here it is. Because here it is. Because here.
And it'll be here in, about 10 minutes? Extinction level event. Caribou Barbie, bring up Giuliani. I want to hear some Giuliani. Where is he? Where is he? Hey, Rudy.
Governors. She's been one of the most active governors in the country, and Alaska can be proud of having one of the best governors in the country.
Goddamn right! Hey.
She's got an 80% approval rating.
Yeah!
You never get that in New York City. Wow.
Hey.
As U.S. attorney, a former U.S. attorney, I'm very impressed the way she took on corruption in Alaska,
Republican,
including corruption in the Republican Party.
Yeah.
This is a woman who has no fear. This is a woman who stands up for what's right.
Yeah.
She.
Oh, my God. Look at the people. I mean, Giuliani, he would be a lot more entertaining right now if he had on one of those wig hairs and a dress and just stand up there and let it rip, Rudy, or the Julie, or whatever your name is. But
she fought corruption? What? When she was trying to...
She is the corruption!
She was making political phone calls to get her former brother-in-law fired as a state trooper?
This is insanity. She's
a popular governor of a state of 600,000 people?
I've never, ever, ever seen anything like this. We need to do a break. We just need to... Will you start the music? Oh, Jesus, please. Start the thank you. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Days and my red
Okay, Caribou Barbie has started. Oh, my God, let us listen.
The voters knew better, and maybe that's because they realize there's a time for politics and a time for leadership, a time to campaign and a time to put our country first.
And a time for booty.
There's a time for booty.
Our nominee for president is a true profile in courage, and people like that are hard to come by.
Time for booty.
He's a man who wore the uniform of his country for 22 years and refused to break faith with those troops in Iraq who now have brought victory within sight.
It's time for booty. We want booty. We want booty.
And as the mother of one of those troops, that is exactly the kind of man I want as commander-in-chief.
Yeah! Goddamn right! Booty! Yeehaw! Yeehaw!
Moms who will say an extra prayer each night for our sons and daughters going into harm's way. Our son Track is 19, and 1 week from tomorrow, September 11th, he'll deploy to Iraq with the Army Infantry in the service of his country. My nephew Casey, also enlisted, and serves on a carrier in the Persian Gulf.
And your soon-to-be son-in-law.
My family is so proud of both of them, and of all the fine men and women serving the country in uniform.
Yeah! And we love the flag! Yay! Woo-hoo! What do they say in USA? Huh? Oh my God, that is so 1990.
So Track is the eldest of our five children. And our family, it's two boys and three girls in between. My strong and kind-hearted daughters, Bristol and Willow and Piper.
The boyfriend looks like he's about to wet himself, doesn't he? Look at the boyfriend.
We were so blessed in April. Todd and I welcomed our littlest one into the world, a perfectly beautiful baby boy named Trig.
Wait, don't drop him. Don't drop him. Trig looks like he's dead. Come on, wake up, Trig. Wake him up.
You know, from the inside, no family ever seems typical. And that's how it is with us. Our family has the same ups and downs as any other.
No!
The same challenges.
No, I don't think so.
And the same joys.
No!
Sometimes even the greatest joys bring challenge. And children with special needs inspire a very, very special love.
Bite those words, baby.
To the families of special needs.
Woo! All right, special needs. Yeah! All right.
To the families of special needs children all across this country, I have a message for you. For years, you've sought to make America a more welcoming place for your sons and daughters. And I pledge to you that if we're elected, you will have a friend and advocate in the White House.
Yay! All right. I love it. What's she talking about?
And Todd is a story all by himself. He's a lifelong commercial fisherman and a production operator in the oil fields of Alaska's North Slope and a proud member of the United Steelworkers Union.
He's a union member? Oh, let's hear it for the union members.
a world champion snow machine racer.
All right! He's a snow machine racer! Hot damn! Hot damn!
Throw in his Yupik Eskimo ancestry, and it all makes for quite a package.
Wait a minute! Wait a minute!
High school,
he's a what?
2 decades and 5 children later, he's still my guy.
Ah! God damn! We're so redneck, I'll tell you what. We eat pine trees, that's what we do. He's a lumberjack and a fisherman.
And Dad both worked at the elementary school in our small town. And among the many things I owe them is a simple lesson that I've learned.
Well, I also owe them about $500 that we just had to borrow to pay the electric bill, but that's another story.
Every door of opportunity. And my parents are here tonight.
They're sitting out there with that dead polar bear. Look, there's my dad. Stand up, Dad.
I'm so proud. Chuck and Sally Heath.
Now, don't be alarmed. My dad looks Jewish, but he's not. That's all right.
Long ago, a young farmer and a haberdasher from Missouri, he followed
Harry Truman.
An unlikely path. He followed an unlikely path to the vice presidency. And a writer observed, "We grow good people in our small towns."
Oh, you're scary.
With honesty and sincerity and dignity.
Oh, my God, you're scary, lady.
People that writer had in mind when he praised Harry Truman. I grew up with those people.
That's a Democrat.
They're the ones who do some of the hardest work in America.
He's a Democrat.
Who grow our food and run our factories and fight our wars. They love
Democrats.
Their country,
yeah.
In good times and bad, and they're always proud of America.
Democrats, you're goddamn right there, Bob, Caribou Barbie. Democrats, yeah. We're talking Democrats now, yeah.
Woo-hoo!
Ha-ha!
Of living most of my life in a small town. I was just your average hockey mom and signed
hockey
up for the
mom.
PTA.
Yeah, PTA. Yay! Let's hear it for the PTA. Let's hear it for hockey moms. Let's hear it for school crossing guards. Yay! Hockey moms.
I love those hockey moms. You know, they say the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull.
What's that?
Lipstick.
Oh, goddamn, that's funny. Oh, that's so funny. Oh, lipstick. Woo! What's the difference between, goddamn, I love you. You're so funny.
So I signed up for the PTA because I wanted to make my kids' public education even better. And when I ran for city council, I didn't need focus groups
But you live in Alaska, but you got the lowest graduation rate. Hell, you're even below Georgia!
Of the great state of Alaska.
Yee-hoo!
I was mayor of my hometown.
I used to be a meter reader.
Since our opponents in this presidential election seem to look down on that experience.
Yeah.
Let me explain to them what the job involves.
Okay. I got a question for you, sweet cheeks. What does the job of vice president involve?
I guess.
We love you.
A small town mayor is sort of like a community organizer.
No.
That's
another Barack Obama joke, isn't it? That's another Barack Obama joke. He's a community organizer. Son of a bitch, that's funny. You know what else? He's a Negro.
That in small towns, we don't quite know what to make of a candidate who lavishes praise on working people when they're listening and then talks about how bitterly they cling to their religion and guns when those people...
Yeah, yeah, he's a Negro, too. You know, he's a Muslim Negro, too. How about that?
Now, we tend to prefer candidates who don't talk about us one way in Scranton and another way in San Francisco.
Oh, oh. That's a reference to all them queers out there, right? Yeah, yeah.
My running mate, you can be certain that wherever he goes and whoever is listening, John McCain is the same man.
Yeah, and he'll lead that trail of breadcrumbs so he can find his way back.
Well, I'm not a member of the permanent political establishment.
Boy, you got that right, honey.
I've learned quickly these last few days that if you're not a member in good standing of the Washington elite, then some in the media consider a candidate unqualified for that reason.
No, 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 it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with your crappy record.
Boo.
They're booing her.
Are they booing her?
Yeah. Oh, no, they're booing the media. Goddamn media. Media sucks. Media sucks. Media sucks. Boo. Media sucks. Media sucks. Boo. Boo. Media sucks.
Here's a little news flash. Here's a little news flash.
I'm pregnant.
Reporters and commentators.
I'm pregnant.
I'm not going to Washington to seek their good opinion. I'm going to Washington to serve the people of this great country.
Oh, no, you're not. No, you're not, sweet cheeks. You're going back to Wasilla. Oh, God, let's take a break. I can't take it. I can't take it. I swear to God, I am so riled up. Good Lord, I want some sex. I want some booze. I want drugs. I want to go jump on a polar bear.
You're not ready. How many times I say you're not ready? Watch my booty shake like a fat lady's belly. My style's so stank, I better bang, you gon' smell me. Oh, you smell me, smells like money. When I come running, wow, to keep it coming. Wow, rock while I drum drumming. Destiny got the whole world freaking something, and we killing something. Somebody better warn y'all.
It's about 9 minutes before the hour. Oh my God! This is just, the word surreal is overused, certainly by people of my generation, because everything we went through was so surreal. But this is so over the top. As far as an advocate for special needs in the White House, we've already got one, and we're trying our damnedest to send him back to Crawford. But all right, we'll play a little bit. We'll play a little bit more of this. Go ahead, Gabby. This is just I've never seen anything like this. Never.
That pipeline, when the last section is laid and its valves are open, will lead America one step farther away from dependence on dangerous foreign powers that do not have our interests at heart.
Like who?
The stakes for our nation could not be higher.
Like who?
When a hurricane strikes in the Gulf of Mexico, this country should not be so dependent on imported oil that we're forced to draw from our strategic petroleum reserve.
What's that?
And families cannot throw more and more of their paychecks on gas and heating oil. With Russia wanting to control a vital pipeline in the Caucasus and to divide
what are the
and
Caucasus?
Intimidate our European allies by using energy as a weapon, we cannot leave ourselves at the mercy of foreign suppliers.
Caucasus? Is that what people do when they get together and have little meetings? Oh, my God, please.
To confront the threat that Iran might seek to cut off nearly a fifth of the world's energy supply.
They haven't said
or
that.
Or the terrorists might strike again at the Abqaiq facility in Saudi Arabia.
At the what?
Or that Venezuela might shut off its oil discoveries and its deliveries of
big,
that source.
Big words.
Americans, we need to produce more of our own oil and gas.
Where's Venezuela?
Take it.
Hey, sweet cheeks. Where's Venezuela?
The North Slope of Alaska. We've got lots of both.
Oh, my God. All right, Kathy, I can't take anymore. Oh, my God.
Our opponents say again and again that drilling will not solve all of America's energy problems.
Oh, but that's
as if we didn't
bull
know
hockey.
That already. The fact that drilling, though, won't solve every problem is no excuse to do nothing at all. Starting in January, in a McCain-Palin administration, we're going to lay more pipelines
well,
and
I'll bet
build
you are.
Nuclear plants and create jobs with clean coal and move forward.
We're going to lay some pipe.
Wind,
yeah.
Geothermal and other alternative sources.
What does geothermal mean?
We need...
What does that big word mean? Geothermal. Woo! Hot damn.
We need American sources of resources. We need
what?
American energy brought to you by American ingenuity and produced by American workers.
Yeah! Damn right. Death to the Chinese. Death to the Saudis. Death, death, death.
And now I've noticed a pattern with our opponent.
What's
and maybe
that?
You have too.
Yeah?
We've all heard his dramatic speeches before devoted followers. And there is much to like
in Germany
about our opponent.
Some bitch goes to Germany.
Speak. It's easy to forget that this is a man who has authored two memoirs, but not a single major law or even a reform, not even in the state senate.
Oh, my God. And he's a Negro. He is a Negro. And a Muslim. Barack Hussein Obama. 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 Whatever. He's a Negro. He's a Negro. He's a Negro.
This is a man who can give an entire speech about the wars America is fighting.
Yeah.
And never use the word victory except when he's talking about his own campaign.
Woo! And he's a Negro. Don't forget that. And a Muslim. And none of his daughters are pregnant.
But when the cloud of rhetoric has passed.
Yeah?
When the roar of the crowd fades away.
The roar?
When the stadium lights go out.
The stadium.
And those styrofoam Greek columns are hauled back to some studio lot.
Yay! Studio columns! Studio columns! Studio columns! Styrofoam! 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 Styrofoam!
When that happens, what exactly is our opponent's plan? What does he actually seek to accomplish?
He's a Negro!
After he's done turning back the waters and healing the planet. The answer is to make government bigger.
Oh.
And take more of your money.
Oh, no.
And give you more orders from Washington.
Oh, no.
And to reduce the strength of America in a dangerous world.
And he's a Negro. Boo. Boo.
America needs more energy.
Boo. Oh, this is madness. This is madness. Oh, my God. Where's my bottle of wine? Where is it? Where is it? It's around here somewhere. Give me the Xanax. Give me the wine. Oh, my gosh, she's going to lay some pipe, huh? Okay. How about her kid? Woo! All right, Barack Obama, he doesn't know nothing. Oh, and he's a Negro. insanity. You know how bad this is? This makes me wish that McCain would have picked Lieberman. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're not going to take any more of this. I've had absolutely enough. I mean, I've never seen or heard anything like this in my life. And she's still talking. I mean, she's just going to keep going. We have a, you know, what would you call this? The naming of the shrew is would that be, this is obviously a teleplay. We have the sound off on the three monitors we have here in the studio in the Malloy compound. And I'm just watching her, and I can't get my mind around this. The Republican Party has a death wish. And by God, this November 4th, let us fulfill their wish. Vote for Barack Obama. Just do it. To the purists, to the people out there who can't vote for a Democrat any longer, okay, do whatever you have to do. But for the rest of us, let's just rid this country of this filth that is the Republican Party. It has to be. We have to get rid of this. We have to remove this. This is a cancer. John Dean called the Watergate operation a cancer on the presidency. This Republican Party is a cancer on this entire country. We need to excise this. We need to get rid of this. It has to be radiated. It has to be chemotherapied. It has to be knifed out of our body. This Republican Party is filth. It's degenerate. It is a disease. It has got to go. These rat bastards have almost destroyed the entire country. They've got to go. And this freak standing at the podium, it is so embarrassing when she takes shots at Obama's experience. A Harvard law grad. She has some punk-ass BA in journalism from someplace in Idaho. McCain's handlers have made her out to look exactly like a shrewish, shrill bitch. Sorry, that's how she's coming across. Was that the plan? Pick some vacuous airhead to do a hatchet job on Obama while McCain stays white and squeaky clean? Can you imagine Biden taking cheap shots at this freak or McCain like this? It's tacky, it's desperate, and as Peggy Noonan said today into the open mic, it's over. This freakish candidate taking shots at Barack Obama's experience, this from a woman who thought the Pledge of Allegiance was written by the Founding Fathers? A woman who thinks being a power seller on eBay makes her an expert on the economy? Or that since she's lived near Russia, that's tantamount to foreign policy experience? When she started naming all those foreign countries, ask her where Venezuela is. Ask her where the Caucasus are. Ask her where the refinery in Saudi Arabia that she named. Ask her where Saudi Arabia is. Ask her any of this. This is a goddamn joke, only it's not funny. Well, I don't know what to say. I mean, McCain was, you know, McCain is a coward. When Bush whipped his ass in South Carolina in 2000, just beat him into a pulp. McCain did what his PTSD told him to do. Cower, hide, slink, turn into the worm that you are, sneak away. And now this. The religious right got a hold of McCain and said, no, not Lieberman, he's a Jew. No, not Romney. He's a Mormon. No, not Giuliani. He's a closet faggot. No, not this one, not that one. Here, You take her, John. Because she'll tell America why we're in Iraq, just like George said, because God told us to. And McCain, being the spineless, wimpish freak that he is, just collapsed. I can remember one time, God help me for saying this, but I can remember back in 1999 at one time saying to Kathy, you know, this John McCain, you know, he makes sense on some issues. Now, that was then. This is now. I've never seen anything like this. I mean, I think it's wonderful. I really do. It's full of awe and wonder and blessings for all of us because the Republican Party is going to just absolutely commit harakiri. It's going to fall on the sacrificial sword right into its guts. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Am I the only one when she was talking about her little boy, her little baby Twig, that was reminded of that scene in Chinatown where Nicholson kept slapping Faye Dunaway around and she kept saying, you know, she's my daughter, she's my sister, she's my daughter, it's my son, it's my grandson, it's my son.
Things are breaking apart here in the Malloy studio in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains.
Well, I'm worried about the boy. He looks a little overheated and he hasn't moved.
The little baby looks dead. They keep handing him off like a goddamn football. It goes from the daughter to the granddaughter to the mother to the maybe mother to the possible mother to the father to the new uncle-in-law to this, to that. Oh, wait a minute. I just saw stubby hands move. Is McCain there?
That poor boyfriend is trying everything he can to find the exes.
McCain's up. McCain, turn it up. Turn it up. Turn it up. Quick. It's McCain.
The sort of thing they like.
All right, turn it down. Turn it down. It's one of those scummy right, the liberal media types. Associated Press, Dateline Wasilla. The Wasilla area is the methamphetamine capital of Alaska, according to Alaska state troopers. In 2003, authorities uncovered 9 meth labs in the area. Last year, the number increased to 42, said Kyle Young, an investigator with the troopers who works in the Matsu narcotics team. Officials with the Office of Children's Services in Wasilla said the problem affects children. The office receives about 40 calls a month from people reporting abuse or neglect involving some aspect of the highly addictive drug. In late February, the Matsu Narcotics Squad arrested a couple in their Willow home. Michelle Mata said for years she tried to warn the authorities that her 3 young nieces lived in the midst of a methamphetamine operation run by their parents, Philip Dean and Laura Jackson. Alaska state troopers reported finding, quote, a large active meth lab in a detached garage, unquote. The house was a frigid mess with piles of dirty dishes, clothes everywhere, frozen pipes. The methamphetamine capital of Alaska, Wasilla, Alaska. The methamphetamine capital of Alaska.
Well, you know, that explains a lot. You know, it really does explain a lot. When I was just sitting here thinking about that, you know, there's one sentence I never thought I'd ever hear you say on the radio.
What's that?
It was this from the AP, Dateline Wasilla.
Yeah, well, that's true. Nothing happens in Wasilla except the production of methamphetamines.
And a lot of moose. And they're doing a lot of boinking, apparently, though.
This is insanity. You know, I'm so glad this is over. Are we going to carry any of this freakish McCain speech tomorrow night? I guess we should. I guess we should. I mean, this is unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'll be curious to see how Chris Matthews handles this and Keith Olbermann and, I mean, anybody except the freaks at Fox News, right?
I think these are some of the meth heads on stage right now.
Oh, my God. Who is that? Oh, there's Chris Matthews. Well, all right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We're going to take your phone calls, all right? The number here is 800-989-1480. If you are still conscious and sober, give us a call. This is the Nova M Radio Network.
Making the pie higher, it's more of Mike Malloy.
But there's booze in the blender, and soon it will render that frozen concoction that helps me hang on.
All right, here we go. Sing along.
Wasting away again. Searching for my lost shaker of salt. Some people claim that there's a woman to blame, but I know.
Oh, God, let's get drunk and, you know, what?
If this is the best the Republicans have this year, could we just run Bush and Cheney again? Please. Anything, drunk and drunker, anything's better. You know, we already have special needs there. I don't think it, the center will not hold.
Prairie 2 writes, hey, Mike, here it comes. U.S. forces have launched a bold ground attack into Pakistan. Expect bin Laden's head on a pike for the closing night of the Republican convention.
And, Mike, that's a kind of fish.
And don't pay any attention to the freezer burn. Yeah, God. like I say, I've seen a lot in my time on the planet, but I've never seen anything like this. Now, the suggestion was made by the liberal media that when the first debate between her and Joe Biden occurs, when is that, in October? That Biden might have to hold back because Biden has a reputation of being a slash and burn type when he's in a situation like this. Plus, whether you like him or hate him, whether you like his votes or hate his votes, he can be pretty witty. And so I saw David Gregory on CNN during the break. Was it CNN? No, MSNBC. David Gregory declaring Sarah Palin's speech a success. Now, I don't know if he meant a success to the American people or a success to the pod people who were trapped inside the venue in St. Paul, Minnesota. That was another thing. The people inside that convention hall, that convention center, whatever it is, dear God, what is Garrison Keillor going to say about this? It's just astonishing, astonishing. Not quite sure where to go with this, except to I guess what we should do here is take some phone calls, right? Let's do that, starting with Paula. Paula's calling from Bayonne, New Jersey. All right, Paula.
Hey, Mike. Oh, my God. She's an idiot. Tracy Fleck meets Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Hey, yeah.
And then why did she start again with that stupid family newsletter thing? Oh. Didn't she just do that on Friday?
Well, yeah, she did. Why didn't she mention her soon-to-be son-in-law who is sitting there next to one of her daughters that he knocked up? I mean, if this would have been Democrats, this is what the Republican commentators would have been talking about. Oh, look, there's the knocked-up daughter. These people turn my stomach, Paula. They make me just want to vomit.
And one other thing, Miss Advocate for people with children with special needs.
Yeah.
Cut special education funding in Alaska by 62%.
What? You're kidding me. Really?
Really?
The commander-in-chief of the Alaska National Guard did that?
Yes. And she's, you know, the woman who protects us from Russia.
Yeah, huh?
There. She cut special education funding. And if that's if I'm qualified to be vice president, more than her, because I've actually left the country.
Paula, I would vote for you in a heartbeat if you were on any ticket. Trust me.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it's instant. It's like they're trying to lose this time, Mike.
I don't know. It seems that way, doesn't it? There's a lot of rumor flying around that the Republicans want to lose this. I'll tell you another rumor that's flying around. Before the end of September, Sarah Palin will be off the ticket. There will be a family emergency. There will be things to take care of at home. And Lieberman will sneak in. If not Lieberman, then Tom Ridge. I don't know. I can't comment on this because I can't get my mind around it.
Isn't Tom Rich the guy who quit his job in Homeland Security because he didn't pay him enough?
well, that, yeah, whatever. This is bizarre.
I'm on my second glass of wine, Mike. I think I might have to go for a third.
All right. Well, do it.
The three glass, Mike. You have a good night.
All right, Paula. Thanks. Take care. If you want to join in, the number here is 800-989-1480. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Future, it's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour. I'm getting emails from people, white people, who say they're embarrassed to be white. Yeah.
I'm embarrassed to be a brunette.
I'm not going to say it again, except I've never seen anything like this. And you know what is worse, what is really over the top? The little bit that I've watched during the break here of CNN and MSNBC, the commentators, the whole stable of these people, talking about this as though it was a serious debut of a real vice presidential candidate. Screw it. Let's go to the phones. Eugene is calling from New York City, listening on the internet. Eugene, welcome to the program.
Talk about Caribou Barbie goes to Nuremberg 08. Did you believe that?
This is
what happens when you're brought up surrounded by methamphetamine and moose burgers.
There you go.
I swear, there are two things I took out of this, and that is that every one of these idiot talking points that Palin shot out can easily be shot down by anyone with half a brain. For example, let's reverse one of hers. Palin will talk one way about liberals when she's on NBC or CBS, but I guarantee you she'll talk another way about liberals when she's in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Uh-huh.
But there is one where we should agree with her, and that is that the media basically sucks. Case in point, Peggy Noonan, as you pointed out during the first hour.
Mm.
Cannot trust conservative commentators to tell the truth on television. Media sucks because what was cable news has become shouting head infotainment 90% of the time, and we are not getting the depth of the news about what is going on in Upper Ossetia or Pakistan or Nigeria or anywhere else in the world where we really should be engaged about what's going on.
Yeah, really. I am so glad that this is over. We are going to have to carry some of McCain's speech tomorrow night, but this is an obscenity. What happened tonight, all during this convention, but especially tonight, is an absolute obscenity, and I think it demonstrates clearly what the political system in this country has sunk to. It's just mind-boggling.
It's stage management, but I'll tell you, every one of the speeches tonight was so filled with bad attitude and smugness and meanness that I think it's actually not going to help the Republicans in the long run. I think that your average viewer would be put off by the way Giuliani was talking. I mean, I was absolutely floored when he came out and said that by refusing the term Islamic terrorism, liberals are trying to avoid insulting terrorists. Now, hold it. Who were the last three terrorists arrested in this country? I'll give you a big hint. They were arrested in Denver. They were goddamn racists.
Yeah, that's true.
They were not Islamists. So Rudy Giuliani, stick it.
Yeah. I hear you. All right, Eugene, thanks. I appreciate it.
You have a good one, Mike.
All right, appreciate you checking in. They're destroying the country. What's left of it? Republicans have got to be eliminated from the political scene. They must be eliminated. And their followers. By any means necessary, nothing is off the table, to use their expressions. Nothing is off the table. Republicans have got to be removed from the political scene.
Well, I think they're doing a fairly good job of that on their own out there. I don't think there's any person in America who is going to take an honest look back at this. The pundits say what they're going to say. And I think that there's no question that she could whip up a room full of crazy delegates. I mean, anybody can do that. That's not the point. But my point is, when you take an honest appraisal, she's going to come off looking like a wacko who's slashing and burning at legitimate politicians. No one's arguing with the point of McCain's war record.
But what you're overlooking, Kathy, I'm sorry, is that the people who support the Republican ticket are wackos.
Fine, but I'm talking about the rest. I mean, what I think the goal is here of both parties at this point is to get the undecided. You go for that 13-14% in the middle.
You know what? I've never believed that. That's like the tobacco companies saying that all the money they spend on advertising is just to get people to switch brands. That's a total lie.
Well, I just heard one of the commentators on one of these talking head stations say that, you know, that they already had the base, that her selection was more about getting the rural vote. I don't think there's a Bubba out there who was going to vote for Obama. I don't think they need the redneck vote. I think that this was some sort of appeal to the middle, and that's going to fail. I think this is a disaster, making her the hatchet woman, and I think that's clear. McCain can stand up there and smile and grin, that kind of creepy plasticine grin of his with his, you know, shaky dentures and his little hands and his tiny little munchkin land feet, and just stand up there and say, my friends, I'm a nice guy, see, don't hate me, hate this woman, hate the woman with the poofy hair, hate the moose woman. It's not going to be pretty.
Stan is calling from Houston, Texas, listening on Sirius. Hey, Stan.
Hey, Mike. Mike, I was trying to figure out why in the world that they would bring Married with Children back to the air. And, you know, I just couldn't figure it out. And then it came to me, they're not serious about this election. The Republicans do not plan on winning this election.
Really?
Not the fair way. I think that something is in the plans. I think something terrible is about to happen. That they're finally going to do what Richard Nixon wanted to do, cancel the election. Don't put it past them.
You know what? Stan, we will know very soon. Cheney is over in the... Caspian Sea area in Uzbekistan. I'm not sure where he is. He's in one of the stands. Wherever Cheney goes, death and destruction follows. As surely as morning follows night.
Well, the
night.
News today, they've got an American incursion into Pakistan right now going on.
Yeah, yeah.
That was while I've been listening. And but that's one of the things that they're not serious, or this would not have happened if they really wanted to win an election.
Well, I think you're right. I don't know, Stan. I just know that I feel like there's this huge plot out there to drive me crazy. Maybe y'all feel that way too. I can only speak for myself. I feel like finally all those things that I was paranoid about all those years have become manifest. They're here. All the things that I used to think about when I was depressed or high or stoned or doing really, really intense drugs and used to sit there and go, holy jumping Jesus, you mean that's my place in the universe? That insignificant? That's what this feels like. That a lifetime of demons that have pursued me, just like your demons have pursued you. You know what I'm talking about, True Seeker. You know what I'm talking about. That all of a sudden, they're here. Here they are. Barbara is calling from Minneapolis, listening on the internet. Hey, Barbara. You're at ground zero, aren't you?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
You what?
I was just picking up my phone from speaker, putting it on, and I didn't catch what you said. I'm sorry.
I said you're in Minneapolis. You're at ground zero.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. The police have been, they've got, you know, all the gear on, you know, everything. They have them all at different intersections.
Right.
And they've got, and then you heard about Amy Goodman, of course.
Oh, right? Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, I heard the interview about that. Anyway, and I haven't been able to talk to you for about 3 months because I was ill and I wasn't near a TV, and not TV, but I had TV, but I didn't have, couldn't stream you. So
what about that that protester? I saw just briefly someone was removed from the Republican convention tonight.
Well, I didn't think you had caught it because you didn't mention it.
Yeah, I happened to be. I just glanced up to look at one of the monitors here in the studio, and what was that? You know, somebody was being looks like a female being rushed out. Do you know anything about
it? There was a female, and there were 3 to 4, the fourth one was kind of leading to get her out of there.
Uh-huh.
It took burly men. And
it must have been a code pink person because they're about the only ones in the country. No, I don't mean that literally. They're one of the few groups in the country doing anything to stop this madness. I'll bet you anything, Barbara, it was someone from code pink. Hey, listen, I got to leave it there. Thanks for checking in. We'll be right back. This is Nova M Radio. It's about 10 before the hour. What a night. I'm repeating myself. There's no point in saying it again. Thanks to Ian Huff, Billy Foster, and Ben Birch, who handled the technical aspects of this program. Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, who handle other aspects of the program, and our executive producer, Catherine Bay. Back to your phone calls with the, what is it, about 9 minutes before the hour. Johnny is calling from Atlanta, listening on the internet. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
It's going, pal.
Oh, man. Wasn't that the most atrocious? I mean, unbelievable.
I don't know what country I'm in. I don't know what I was watching. And you know what was even scarier to me? You know, I know that this Palin woman is going to say what they put in front of her to say. That's her role.
Right.
But what was beyond belief to me was to watch the cutaway shots to the audience, to see the faces on these people who were responding to what she was saying. I don't know, man.
I truly believe that tomorrow they're going to let the dogs out on them. So I can't wait until that happens. I think, and you know, as I told your screener, I think this is a direct result of the primaries going on as long as they did. Mm-hmm. And this is where these supporters, these Hillary Clinton supporters at now, when they got just basically pimp slapped in the face with this nomination.
I would love to hear from those people who said they were going to vote for McCain because Hillary was dissed or whatever their rationale is, they were going to vote for McCain after listening to the Hillary replacement tonight. And that's all she's there for, is to replace Hillary and appeal to the voters with vaginas.
Right.
Because that's what the Republicans think, that's all they need to do, substitute one vagina for another vagina, and we're home free.
Exactly.
I would love to hear.
What
the so-called Pumas or whatever they call themselves, are these women really going to vote for this mess? This is what they're going to do. Okay.
Exactly.
Man.
Sources, I thank you for taking my call. I enjoy listening to you, and I'm glad that some messenger is out there at least.
All right, Johnny, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. All right, take care.
Now, what exactly, my friends, is McCain going to do, my friends, tomorrow night to equal that? He's going to stand next to this sort of screechy Amazon woman from planet Alaska and just stand there and say, wasn't she great? Isn't she? Yeah, she's going to bring me some pudding later, and then we're going to talk about things that start with the letter A and how I remember a time before ballpoint pens.
I don't know the count.
She's dynamic, isn't she? Look, she's got 19 children, and they're all named after parts of a tree. I don't know, and some of them are pregnant.
Lisa wrote, you're right, Mike, the woman removed from the convention was Medea Benjamin and Jody, another Code Pink member. Here's the email I just received, Lisa writes. Just saw Medea on CNN getting taken out of the convention. Both of our fearless sheroes were wearing pink slips. CNN flashed to Medea right after Sarah Palin said, a small town mayor is kind of like a community organizer, except that you have responsibilities. Medea and Jody stood up for community organizers and local activists everywhere. Okay, Lisa, I'll take that as... you know what you're talking about, and all I can say about Medea Benjamin is I just stand in awe of that woman. I somebody who has done what she has done, who puts herself out there over and over and over and over again. I don't know. I would love to have her on the program sometime, but I think I would be so intimidated to have someone who is so who so completely refuses to buy into the bullcrap. as Medea Benjamin. She, you know, I truly believe that a hero ain't nothing but a sandwich. But if I had a hero, it would probably be Medea Benjamin.
Not to switch horses so dramatically, but you know, there's one little aspect of this whole Sarah Palin thing that's been bugging me.
Yeah.
If she's so proud to be a mom and a hockey mom and proud of Pit Pat, Bo, Peg, and Joe and whatever their names are, why did she keep her pregnancy a secret from the world for
because
7 months?
It wasn't her pregnancy.
Okay, but what's the official spin on this? What is Moose Woman saying about why she didn't talk about?
She doesn't.
Here's my whole clan. We're a big happy.
No, she doesn't bring it up because you either buy the official story from Republicans, or you hit the wall of silence. And the official story is, she gave birth to this baby. I don't know. Here we go again with the 9/11 kind of attitude, or the JFK assassination conundrum. As far as the youngest member of the Palin family, who knows? A. B. Who cares? You know, the child was born. Move on.
I just think it speaks to the whole honesty and credibility issue.
Republicans don't have any of that.
Yeah, but I mean, she's gonna pretend what? I had a baby, but I didn't want anybody to know I'm pregnant. But I'm proud of the baby, but I didn't want anybody to know I was pregnant. I don't know. The whole speech tonight was like somebody running for high school, student council.
Two absolute prerequisites if one is to try to understand Republicans: A, they lie; B, they lie. I'll see you tomorrow night, Truth Seekers. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.